Well, it's good to be here, amen. And I'm glad the Aulises are singing. They've been with us a number of times when we were up in Greensboro. And so I always appreciate them. And that's, I guess, out of all the songs they sing, I think that's probably been my favorite song. And always enjoyed being around them and having them with us. And I can truly say God's been faithful to me. And he's been faithful to my family. And I'll just tell you what, he's a God of faithfulness. I'm glad he doesn't give up on us, Brother Frank.
Amen.
I'm glad he goes with us all the way to the end. He goes with us through every mile and every trial. And when they sing that song a lot of times, and I don't know, Preacher Clark, I think someone said that you were overseas in Vietnam, weren't you? Yeah. Now, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking? 70, you're a little older than I am. I'll be 68 this April. But nevertheless, I think about while I was over there at 18 years old, I was lost. And I think about how God protected me and watched over me and brought me back home. And I always think about those 58,000 and some that never made it home. They never got the opportunity to have a wife. They never had the opportunity to have children and grandchildren like we are. And I just say God's been faithful to me. And since I've been saved, he's been faithful to me, really faithful, because, as you know, we deal with a lot of things from overseas, the Agent Orange and all those things and the cancer. And God's just been faithful to all of us. And even when I had my cancer surgery, Frank talked about, we've been friends. This end of this April will be 5 years since I've been cancer free. And I praise the Lord for that. Amen. And so anyway, God's been good to us. And I always think sometimes I like to relate things to military, because had I not had to been in the infantry, Brother Jimmy, I would have stayed in the military. I enjoyed the structure. I enjoyed the discipline. I enjoyed things. What I really enjoyed is I got a paycheck every month, and the only thing I had to pay out of it was my clothing allowance and dry cleaning and things, because they put me up in a barracks. They gave me 3 meals a day. They told me what I had to do and when I had to get off, and I had it made as a young man. And I hadn't had it made like that since, but I always enjoy things about military. And if you have your Bibles, let's turn over into Deuteronomy chapter number 20. It'll probably be familiar to some of you, Deuteronomy chapter number 20. And our Christian life means something to the Lord. I mean, he cares about how we live. And we're living in a day, a lot of times, that people say they name the name of Christ, but it makes no difference to them how they live. But you've heard us say, and you've heard other people say, the only Bible some people may read will be your life, and that's certainly true. But as we begin, just by way of maybe introduction, let me just say this right here. The Bible talks about our life as a Christian described, first of all, as a walk. In Ephesians 4:1, it tells us, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Then he talks about we're described as a race over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Then 1 Peter tells us that we're in a pilgrimage. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And then last, in 1 Timothy 6:12, it tells us it's described as a warfare. And we are certainly in a fight. The Bible tells us, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. So we're in a fight today. We're in a battle for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. And certainly that's what the home is all about the souls of these girls that are here today. And certainly we want to reach as many people for Christ as we can. But there are many people, and the reason a lot of people are out of church today, and please, I'm not a legalist, I'm not a Pharisee, I'm not a Sadducee, but listen, we've got to be honest with people today in our churches. And we've got to tell them just the way it is. But many people are dying in the battle. And there's reasons why they're dying in the battle. And the Bible gives us some illustrations here in Deuteronomy chapter number 20. And if you can, let's just for the next few moments, let's stand at the reading of God's word out of reverence, if you can and will. Deuteronomy chapter 20. It tells us, when thou goest out into the battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day into the battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And then, this is what I want to focus on today. Then the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go home and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not eaten of it? Let him also go and return into his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go home and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. And the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful, faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Pastor Frank, you pray for us, if you will.
Father, we want to thank you for the Spirit of God that we felt this morning. And I pray, God, that you take the message now, speak to our hearts. Anoint Brother Tom today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. So as we see here in Deuteronomy chapter 20, first of all, Moses, he is speaking to the people. And he is telling them some instructions regarding military service. And then we see that the Bible tells us that the priests who accompanied Israel into battle, they were called the anointed of the battle. They gave the army a threefold message. Number one, the Lord goeth with you. I'm glad he goes with you and I today. The Lord will fight for you. He still fights for his people. And the Lord will save you. He's still saving people today. But their victories was dependent as much upon the obedience unto God as it was God's faithfulness to them. Then the officers come and they speak. And the officers were responsible for either appointing people to the battle or releasing them from the battle. And those that he released here were not fit for battle. Let me just emphasize it again. Those that have built a house and not dedicated it, planted a vineyard and not eaten of it, betrothed a wife and not married, fearful and the coward, because they would have an effect on others. Each one of these people right here, they were not fit for battle because their allegiance to the fight was divided for whatever reason. And that's where we are today. A lot of people are not fit for battle because their allegiance is divided. In 1 Chronicles 12:8, the Bible tells us, and these were David's men, and of the Gadites, they separated themselves unto David into the hold of the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces and lines were as the swift as the rose upon the mountain. Now let me tell you something. If you were in the military, as Brother Clark was, and Brother I was, and some of you mothers may have been, there's a thing that you have to go through. First of all, they put you in boot camp. What were you in, Brother Jimmy?
Air Force.
Okay, you're still counted. But anyway, they put us in the Marine Corps. And of course, you went through boot camp. What I'm telling you is, these people, hey, listen, in the natural, the military gets people fit for battle. That's what you go for. To learn, to train, and so they sent us to Paris Island. Neither was it Paris, nor neither was it an island that I liked to be. I knew there was one way off of that place, and that was to do what they said, when they said, how they said it, how many times they said it. Why? Because those men had already been over there. They knew what we were going to experience. They knew what it was going to take to get us back home. And they were trying to get us fit for battle. So next, after the 3 months down there at Paris Island, they sent us to advanced infantry training down at Camp Geiger. That's another 3 months down there for advanced infantry training. Then to Camp Lejeune. And then after that, we got to come home for 30 days. Then they sent us for 3 more months out to Camp Pendleton for more infantry training. I'm talking about getting people fit for battle. And then I tell people a lot of times, the only thing that ever really surprised me was the fact that I got there. Boy, that was a shocker. But even at that, after they got us there, they sent us out to what they had, a fire base, a rear. And I'm trying to make a point by all this right here. They sent us to a fire base that was a rear, and that's where the infantry operated out of. Sometimes we'd go out for 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time, come back in, take a shower, have a hot meal. But nevertheless, before they sent us out, after we first got there, they sent us to another plane. They give us 30 days of what they call indoc school. You know what indoc school was? It was where you would operate around the perimeter. They were getting used to the surroundings because it was a difference in night and day. Here you are 10,000 miles away from home, 18-year-old boy, never been no further than Myrtle Beach, and here we are now out in the battlefield. So they got us used to surroundings in there. Then they would take us out and do daytime patrols. Then at the end of the indoc school, they'd put you on bunker watch. And then you were ready to go out for patrols and ambushes at night. And then we would go out, like I said, 5, 6 weeks at a time. But they had prepared us for what was ahead. Listen, most of that stuff did not surprise us because they trained us, they got our minds right, our heads right, and got us fit for battle. That is the same thing that God is trying to do. He's given us His book right here. It's given us the manual for training, and all we have to do is follow the manual. But what happens to people many times is they get away from God, they get away from the book, they get away from the prayer, and the next thing you know, they're out in the world again, they're living for Satan again, and they're a disgrace to the Christian race. So, we think about it right here. We have the greatest captain there has ever been. He has never lost a battle. In fact, he's already won the war. But the success depends on the welfare of the soldiers. God wins His victories through willing cooperation of His soldiers. God will not do for you and I what we can do for ourselves. We must be a participant. There's something that we've got to do. The Bible tells you and I in 2 Corinthians 6:1, we then as workers together with Him. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are laborers together with God and in and through His church. But the tragedy is many soldiers are not fit for battle, and they will die in the battle. And we wonder why people are not in church. We wonder what happened to them. I'm going to give you 4 things. How much time? I don't even bring my watch with me today, Frank. Okay. But hey, we've got 4 things I want to share for you. Why these people have died in the battle or are not fit for battle. First of all, 1, actions will cause you to die in the battle. Those who are not wholly dedicated to the Lord. You see people up, down, in, out, all about. Hey, they come to church for a week. They come for a month or two. Listen, they have never dedicated their house to the Lord. The Bible says this man right here, hey, has not dedicated his house. In the Old Testament, you know as well as I do, when they built a new house, they dedicated it to the Lord. And so it is in our day and time when the churches build a new sanctuary, a fellowship hall, educational building. What is the thing we do? We dedicate it for the glory of God and the use of the ministry, and we dedicate it to the Lord. I'm not talking about a physical building. I'm talking about a spiritual building. This is the house that you and I need to dedicate to the Lord. And why does he say? He said, if we don't dedicate it, our hearts will not be wholly on the battle. Actions cause a lot of people to die in battle. A lot of Christians have never dedicated the house. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Listen, I've been bought with a price. If you're saved, you've been bought with the price. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a debt I owe the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't pay it. I know I couldn't work enough to do it. I couldn't preach enough. I couldn't say enough. But I'm telling you, I still owe a debt to my Lord and Savior for what He did for us on Calvary's cross that day. I have a debt to pay. And one of the things I can pay is I can dedicate this house to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this is a temple. Bible says in Romans 6:13 says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness and sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And of course, you know this one very well, Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. We hear people all the time say, well, I'd die for the Lord Jesus. I'd do this. Listen, they won't even come to church regularly. They won't even give regularly. And do you think they're going to die for the Lord? They won't even live for the Lord Jesus Christ. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I like when he put that in there. He's not asking us to do anything extreme. He's not asking us to do anything out of the ordinary. It's a reasonable service. For the one who gave all for me, this is reasonable if I dedicate my life to him. Oh, but the key to it is, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. You know how we know these people are not fit for battle? How they've not dedicated their house to the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us? Because they're still fellowshipping with the world. They're still unfaithful to the house of God. They're still reading ungodly magazines and still watching filthy movies and wonder why they're dying in the battle. It's not an amen sermon. It's one of them old me ones. I preached this up there at Andrews where I've been for, I was supposed to be up there 6 months unless they throw me out before then. I told them, I said, y'all are glutton for punishment. But you know what? This is where we live at today. This is why our churches are half empty and there's not much going on and nobody wants to do anything, because people are so tied up in worldly things and living ungodly, and they're still watching the same filthy movies, and they wonder why they're dying in the battle. They straddle the fence over separation, middle of the road on standards, compromise with the world. And the same crowd that does this right here, they wouldn't give a dime to tithe, sacrifice. They wouldn't give a dime to see an ant swallow a bale of hay. They are penny pinchers, self-centered Pharisees, and they wonder why they're dying in the battle. These individuals are lazy. They're lazy. God doesn't bless laziness, by the way. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not being ugly when I say this. One preacher said one time, he said, if Tom ever says he's not being ugly, you better watch out, he's fixing to be ugly. I know a lot of lazy preachers, don't you, Frank? I do. I know a lot of lazy people. They won't work. They won't visit. They won't study. They won't pray. And they expect God to bless them. They're just lazy. And there's a lot of lazy Christians. Hey, listen. We will not get anything more out of our relationship with the Lord than we're willing to put into it. And these people right here that are lazy, it's just like in the natural. They think God's running a social services department, and all they're looking for is just another handout. Another handout. Oh, actions will cause you to die in the battle. Appetites will cause you to die in the battle. Those that have not tasted of the fruit of the Spirit. And what man is he, in verse number 6, that hath planted a vineyard and hath not eaten it yet? The man who has not reaped any fruit from his work will die in the battle. Why hasn't he eaten of anything? You know why? Because he don't have no appetite. He doesn't have an appetite. You know why he doesn't have an appetite? Because he's eating everything else. You remember when mama, now they don't do it, they don't raise kids like this now. And I don't know how y'all do it, Farmer Christian Academy, But I bet you don't give all them youngins, all these young ladies here, a bunch of cookies and candy before time to eat. It used to be that way when we were raised. You didn't eat junk. Because why? Because it would spoil your appetite. Now, me and Mama both, I was born in Germany and Mama's German too. And so, you know what? Hey, Mama was raised up as a teenager during the World War, you know, too. And my granddaddy, he was a German officer in the SS. But she understood what it was to eat. Hey, have something to eat. She has told me, I have stood in line all day long for one loaf of bread. We can't identify that. But I'll tell you what she did identify with, that when you sit down at that table, whatever was on that plate, that's what you eat. And you didn't eat a bunch of junk before then, because why? You wouldn't have any appetite. And that's the same thing, hey, that has happened in the day and hour in which mothers will not let their children eat candy before a meal because it will ruin the appetite. Can I say something to you tonight? Today, preachers, hey, who will not preach now, will not preach then. Missionaries who will not preach here, will not preach there. Many have a call today and will not yield to it. Many have a class and will not study. Talents, they will not use it. And a Bible, they won't read it. And a family, they will not lead it. And we wonder why we're dying in the battle. I like what Peyton said. Where'd he go? He done walked out on me, didn't he? I like what he's saying. I've seen Mama and Daddy down through the years. You had needs. He didn't understand where it was going to come from either. But I like that part right there. When he sees Mama and Daddy. Mama and Daddy. See, Mama and Daddy's set the examples many times. Let me tell you something. Mamas and daddies, if they're living like hell, don't expect your children to turn out like angels. It's tough enough to get them right with God when you're living for the Lord Jesus, isn't it, Frank? I'm just telling you, how do you have an appetite for God? How do you get an appetite for God? Simple. You spend more time with Him than you do the rest of the crowd. You spend time with Him. You spend time with Him in prayer. But here's where we are today. People don't read their Bibles. They don't pray. Hey, they don't talk about the Lord. And they wonder why they're dying in the Bible. They spend 40 hours in TV, 40 hours working. Hey, 8 hours shopping, 6 hours in sports. And by the way, we are a sports crazy nation. We've gone crazy over sports. Do you know the Roman Empire, back when it was an empire, do you know what the two things to the downfall of the Roman Empire was? Sex and sports. Where are we in America today? Boy, we got our idols. And you know what? People will go to a football game up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Now, I like football. I enjoyed playing football when I was in school. I like football. I like watching a race. But let me tell you something. When it comes time for Sunday, I'm not going to be at the ball field, and I'm not going to be at the racetrack. Y'all looking at me like... This is what we need to hear in churches. I don't need to hear something good's going to happen to me today. I don't need that ear-tickling stuff. I just need somebody to be straight with me, because sometimes I'm hard-headed. And you are too, if you admit it. But these people are dying in battle. But they'll go to the football game in Green Bay and sit in 10 below degrees weather and pay untold money for tickets and won't come to the house of God and sit in the air and the heat and listen to the word of God be preached, and then gripe about the preacher taking the money. That's where we're at today. I'm not talking about just the heathens doing this. I'm talking about God's people doing this right here. Oh, let me tell you something. Actions will cause you to die in battle. Appetites will cause you to die in battle. Affections will cause you to die in the battle. Verse number 7 is, what man is that betrothed the wife and hath not taken her? He's talking about affections. His affections would be divided between the battle and the bride. When I was overseas, I was a young man. I was 18. I had no wife. I had no children. I had none of those things. Hey, listen. And you know what? I have seen guys that had children and all those things, the wives, and their affections were divided between the battle. And I can understand that more now than I did then. And that's what we're talking about here. Guilty is the man that said over in Luke 14:20, who said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. His heart would be absent from the battle. When we think about the heart, listen to me. We think about the sins of the heart. Now let me tell you something. We can go out here and criticize the drunkard and the dopehead and and that's what God's people do a lot of times. I've told them wherever I've ever been, I said, let me tell you something. When people come through them doors, Brother Frank, you know this. When people come through them doors, I don't care where they've been. I don't care what they look like. They could have tattoos, earrings, stringing all over them. When they come in the house of God, they need to be loved. Amen. Too many of God's people turn around and look at those people and say, what are they doing here? Hey, they're at the right place. Some of those same people forgot where God brought them from. I never forgot where God found me at. And by the way, I wasn't looking for him, but he came seeking for me. And thank God he did find me. But these people right here, they have sins of the heart. They have bitterness in their heart, malice, envy, jealousy. Hey, unforgiveness. Any unfulfilled promises. Hey, they've lied, they've cheated, they've got spiteful feelings. And listen, some people in church are just mean, nasty, hurtful, and have a bad attitude. You ever been around them?
Oh, yeah.
I have too. Spiteful feelings. And then, so it's the same crowd now right here, affections. They got unpaid debt. Some debt, however small, might be just like that dead fly in the ointment over in Ecclesiastes 10:1. They got a guilty conscience, unforgiving spirit, bitter attitude, embarrassed countenance, and wonder why they are dying in the battle. They've mistreated people, gossiped about the church, run down the pastor, gutted the choir, raped the deacons, and slandered the women in the church. And they wonder why they're dying in the battle. These same people right here, they owe everybody in the country. They got bad debts, repossessed cars, repossessed furniture, and wonder why they're dying in the battle. I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about in the church. In the church. Matthew 5:23-24 says this right here. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer your sacrifice. You know what reconcile means? This is tough, Frank. This is tough. Reconcile means to love each other like we loved each other before the offense. Whew. Boy, I'll tell you what, if God's people ever grasped that right there, we'd have a revival within the church. If they just grasped that. All actions cause you to die in battle. Appetites, affections, and then last, anxieties that cause you to die in the battle. Those who are fearful and faint-hearted are unfit for battle. Bible says in verse number 8, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Courage is required for fighting. We have to get over what people think about us. Now, I'm just like everybody else. I want people to like me. I want to love people. I want to get along with people. But listen, what people think about me or say about me is irrelative anymore. I might be 68 April, and I've got over what people think about me. Because I'll tell you what, when this crowd likes you, this crowd don't. And you know what? We're in the business of trying to please the one that saved us. Some people don't like the preaching I do. Some people say, hey, I don't like all that hollering. What the problem is, they don't like what we're hollering about. That's their problem. But I'm just telling you right here, courage is required for fighting. We have to get over what people think about us. And the pressure to please people. That's where most churches are at today. We've got to please the people. We've got to make it convenient. I got a message I preached just the other week about a shortcut religion. Boy, I'm telling you right now, that's where we're at. We got to make it convenient for everybody. Hey, you come on in at 8:30. You come on in at 9:30. You come on in at 11:30. Hey, we're going to make it. Whatever happened to just getting everybody together at one time? And having church. But we've got to make it convenient. We've got to make the message convenient. Every message has to be an encouraging message, Brother Frank. Every message has to be encouraging. Oh, I want to build you up. Hey, that's good. But the Bible said reprove, rebuke, and exhort. It just didn't say encourage all the time. Sometimes people have to be corrected when they do wrong. Sometimes we just have to name sin in people's lives. And then there are times when we build people up in the holy faith. But we have to get over what people think about us. Oh, how do we do that? By faithful reading, studying, meditating on the Word of God, coupled with prayer. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness." Oh, I'm just telling you now, we got to be fit for battle. Too many of God's people that name the name of Christ, they have become Benedict Arnolds. They are traitors. They are deserters. They are spies. They are turncoats. And they're not fit for battle. They're double agents, and they're dying in the battle. A lot of times, we always put God's method as addition, addition, addition. A lot of times, God's method is subtraction too. He subtracts sometimes. But all these four things that we talked about has to be turned over to the Lord if you and I are going to be fit for the battle. What's going to happen? How's it going to happen? First of all, if we're going to be fit for the battle, hey, the sleeping folks will have to wake up. Yeah, they just have to wake up, the ones that's sleeping. The lukewarm will have to fire up. The dishonest ones will just have to confess up, Brother Eric. They'll have to just say, "I'm dishonest, I'm wrong." The disgruntled folks will have to sweeten up. The discouraged folks will have to cheer up. The depressed folks will have to look up. The estranged folks, and I like this, will just have to make up. And the gossipers, hallelujah, will just have to shut up. The dry bones shake up. And true soldiers are going to have to stand up. Then our lives and our churches will be fit for battle. I like that song. I won't sing it because nobody would listen anyway when I sing. They don't listen much when I preach. But I like that song that says, "I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in the war. I want to die in the battlefield with glory down in my soul." Boy, that's a true soldier. I don't know who wrote that. I don't know where it come from. I'm just glad I got a hold of it. But you know what? You said something about your daughter, Brother Frank, and you know what? It does matter how we live, Brother Eric and Sister Laura. It matters. It matters to God, and it matters to others around us. But you know what? When I married my daughter and my son-in-law, in fact, they got married at the same church me and my wife were married in almost 43 years ago, and we married them there. But before then, she sat down and wrote me a letter, and this is not blowing me up. Let me tell you something. I'm far from what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. But she wrote me a letter. She sat down. Of course, thank you for, you know, paying for college and all those things like that right there. But she said at the end of it, she said, "Thank you for being faithful." She said, "I've seen people hurt you, try to lie on you and say all kind of things to destroy you, and you just remain faithful." Did I like going through all that? Certainly not. But I'm just telling you, because He is faithful, I can be faithful.
Amen.
And He is faithful to you and I. So let's just continue to serve God with all of our hearts and love Him and do what He's called us to do. Amen?
Amen.
And you know what? At the end of the road, Pastor Clark, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Boy, don't you want to hear that? Don't you young ladies want to hear that one day? Boy, I tell you, you get out there and you get your husband and you have children. And boy, raise them right in church. Boy, what a blessing. You know, I never knew what a blessing grandkids could be. Sometimes children got to be a burden, but the grandkids have been real good.
Amen.
And I got another one on the way in June. But I'm just telling you, it pays to serve Jesus.
Right.
And it pays to live for God.
Right.
And it pays because you know what? Again, your life might be the only Bible that somebody reads.
Yes,
and you know what?
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Frank. I appreciate y'all listening. Let me hoot and holler a little bit.